And welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. We're joined now by Wendell Barnhouse. We've had Wendell on many times before, especially before the football season gets started. He's with FanRag Sports, does a wonderful job. Enjoy reading his work. And in fact, I read what he posted yesterday about the Big 12 football championship game. Is it more trouble than it's worth? And we'll get to that in a moment. But first of all, Wendell, how you been, man?
Been pretty good. It's been a decent off season, fairly busy, and you know, not a whole lot of not a lot of controversy going on. Like you said, the championship game is something that people have been talking about. But it, based compared to a year ago when the Big 12 was going through its expansion dance, a lot quieter this summer than last summer.
Okay, so let's start with your article that you have there at fanragsports.com. You can read Wendell's work. Once again, that's fanragsports.com, and I'm looking at it right now on the screen, and I read the article, and I couldn't agree with you more, and I thought you made some great points in this article. And so let's just let our listeners hear what you have to say in regards to the Big 12 championship game. Do you think this is a good idea or a bad idea for the Big 12?
Well, I don't know if it's that's yet to be seen, basically. The problems that I mentioned in the article is that, they're really in a box, kind of, because of their, they say that, okay, we've got this round-robin schedule. Everybody plays everybody. It's a nine-game conference schedule. And obviously the first year of the college football playoff in 2014, they had two teams finish with one loss. The one true champion mantra that the Big 12 was throwing out there didn't really work out well because, the football playoff committee couldn't decide between Baylor and TCU. Plus, there was a problem with the football playoff committee telling the Big 12 before the 2014 season, oh, don't worry, you don't have a championship game. Don't worry about it. That's not going to be a factor. Well, then it turns out it was a factor because the football playoff committee likes to have its 13th data point. I hate to use that term because I call it a game, but yes, they call it a data point. But nonetheless, the fact that everybody else has a championship game. So I think the Big 12 felt that, okay, we need to, and they had some consultants that came in and told them, look, your chances of getting in the playoff are going to be better with a championship game. So they kind of had to jury rig it with the fact that they don't have divisions, and they're going to, now they're pitching the idea that, okay, well, we're going to have our two best teams regardless. Because, other conferences, you don't have maybe the best two teams from that conference playing. I mean, the Pac-12 North has dominated the Pac-12 South in their championship game. We all know how strong the SEC West is. And so those conferences are kind of imbalanced. And they also, a lot of those conferences, obviously, they don't play each other where they have 14 teams in the ACC, SEC, Big Ten. So, the Big 12 is trying to sell what it has. And, we'll see if it works out. But, there are some obvious pitfalls that they could, kind of bite them in the rear end.
Well, it's interesting, and you have this in the article saying that the decision was made 100% on the ability to optimize the likelihood of getting a team in the playoff, the finances of it. Bob Bowlesby said, I don't ever recall them being discussed. I don't think you or I are buying that story. How much did money play a role in adding the Big 12 championship game?
I'm sure it wasn't the driving factor, but to say it wasn't a factor is that's not –
ludicrous is what I'd call it.
The fact is that each school is going to get about $3 million, and with the Big 12's revenue streams, and the thing is, kind of doubling back on what I mentioned earlier about a year ago with all this talk about expansion, which was a pretty silly road to go down. But the fact is that, the Big 12 right now doesn't have a money or an income problem. Its revenue stream is pretty darn strong compared to other conferences. Now, it's never going to catch the Big Ten or the SEC, but right now it's basically better off than the ACC, which will probably also move up, and it's much better off than the Pac-12. I said this at Media Day talking to some folks. I don't know why people talk about the Pac-12 having issues, because they're really locked into how much money they can make because their TV deals are, and their network really isn't bringing in much revenue. And, you know, they have more financial issues than the Big 12, but the Big 12 is always the conference where everybody says, oh, they're going to break up and, you know, Texas and Oklahoma are going to go elsewhere. I don't know where Texas and Oklahoma can go where they're going to get a better financial deal. But getting back to the playoff and the fact that, you know, you are going to get it some extra money, I'm sure that was a reason to go ahead and do it, even though, as we said before, it's not a perfect setup, you know, to play a championship with a 10-team league. But, you know, the fact that they're going to get $3 million each kind of that mitigates the issues as far as the on-field actual playing of the game.
Well, and the other issue, and you have this in your article as well, and I was thinking about this before I got to that part of the article, and that was, when are you going to play it? When are you going to play the Big 12 championship game? Is it going to be amongst the clutter of all the other championship
yep.
games? Is it going to be on a Friday? You can't put it on a Sunday. We know that. I mean, right. where in the world do you put it? What day and what time?
Well, again, that's kind of a – I'm sure the Big 12 will say it's a little bit of a minor issue, but here's the deal. I mean, you know, you got four other conferences, major Power 5 conferences. The Pac-12 is locked into playing on Friday. They pretty much always played their championship game on Friday because they were the most recent ones to really kind of go to a championship game, whereas the SEC, Big Ten, and ACC all had their championship games pretty much locked into playing on a Saturday. And as we know from college football, plus, the, you know, you've got different networks involved with the CBS doing the SEC. Fox has got the Big Ten this year. The ACC is on ESPN. The first year of the Big 12 championship game, Fox gets to televise it. So Fox's options are to either put the Big 12 game on Friday, where they've got the Pac-12 championship game, which, it's pretty tough to put two games in kind of prime time. Basically, the Pac-12 would have to kick off at, 9:30 Eastern to make this work, and the Big 12 would have to kick off at, 6 Eastern. That would probably work, but I get the feeling that the Pac-12 is not really happy about moving later. And the other option is for the Big 12 to play, the early game on Saturday, which is what they always get to do. I mean, if you this is another problem that the Big 12 has had.
Yeah.
All the primetime games in college football are usually SEC yep. or Big Ten because of the markets that those schools and the eyeballs that those schools attract. You rarely get a Big 12 TV primetime game. That's just the fact. They're almost always at the 11 a.m. kickoff. It's almost like, well, let's get these guys out of the way so we can get the good stuff. And it's a little similar situation here with the Big 12 championship game. And the fact that it still hasn't been resolved and we're about ready to start the season, I think that's a little troubling.
Well, and we had this discussion and argument with a few people on social media, and that was last year. I made a comment. I kind of got it kick-started. I said, this is not a good sign for the Big 12 when I can't find Oklahoma playing Texas on TV. It was on FS1 last year, not Fox.
Right.
Not Fox. It was FS1, and yep. there's still people right. who don't know where the heck that's at. And
yep.
it was 11 a.m. And I'm like, listen, mm-hmm. if this is the marquee game of the year, and I know Texas was down, but OU was still good, and they had a yep. chance for a playoff late. That is a horrible sign for the Big 12, and that's what I put out there. And there's a few people that were younger than me that were like, oh no, they didn't get my point, but you do, don't you?
Well, yeah, and it is. You know, the fact is that you've got two, if you're talking about over-the-air networks, you've got CBS, ABC, and Fox now, if you go with the big Fox instead of FS1.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. But the fact is that, well, you know, the funny thing about this deal about never being in prime time, like I said, you get three networks. You know, the Big 12 is involved with both Fox now and the ABC ESPN. So there's a chance that Fox may televise, you know, a couple of primetime games, like late in the year. I'm not sure if they've got Oklahoma State, but that might end up being a primetime game. But the point is that the Big 12 and its member schools probably don't care because they get paid the same amount of money anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, I think, like, I agree with you that it's an indicator of the networks kind of saying, well, yeah, we've got the Big 12, but, man, you know, nobody really cares about, you know, West Virginia and Kansas State may be a really big game in the Big 12, but it doesn't move the needle nationally. The only thing that moves the needle is, you know, Oklahoma and Texas. And it's almost always an 11 a.m. Now, there have been, Fox would love to televise Oklahoma and Texas in prime time if they have that game that year.
Right.
Because they alternate picking games with ABC, ESPN. But rightfully so, the people at OU and Texas, they don't want to play a night game at the Cotton Bowl during the state fair.
Right.
When everybody's had all day to get liquored up.
Yes.
I mean, that's a bad situation. So, again, and I think they're right in taking that stance for that game, but it's hardly ever going to be in a 2:30 window. So, you know, it's one of those things where, kind of as I alluded in the article, the Big 12 just always has issues and problems that either are, you know, kind of just there that they can't really resolve, or they may, if there isn't something there that's just sort of a natural, organic problem, the conference figures out a way to make a problem.
Yeah, I agree with you, totally. Seems like it's a conference that's almost always reactive instead of proactive, and I've always been a staunch supporter of, if you're not proactive, you're going to fall behind the curve, and they're the last one in to do this conference title game, so now they got to figure out when they're going to have it. And then, of course, they invite a whole bunch of teams to send their resumes in, and we're going to expand, or we think we're going to expand. They couldn't even agree on that. And it's to me, it's somewhat of a mess. But let's talk about the actual games on the field coming up this year, Wendell. We're talking Wendell Barnhouse with FanRagSports.com. Okay, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State seem to be the favorites with all the preseason prognosticators, but I would say do not sleep on Kansas State. Every single year, it seems like K-State is undervalued, and this year they're actually valued higher than they normally are, but yet at the same time, I don't hear a lot of people, other than right here where we live, here in Kansas, talking about K-State winning the Big 12. It seems like a foregone conclusion. It's going to be the Cowboys, Oklahoma State, or the Sooners, Oklahoma, and I'm sitting here going, not so fast. I think Kansas State has a shot to win this Big 12.
Sure, I would agree, considering that, you know, the season they had last year coming off a bowl game victory. If you look back for Bill Snyder's best teams offensively, it was when he had a senior quarterback. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesse Ertz had a really fine year last year. I think he's going to be even better throwing the ball. So I think the offense is going to be really solid. And I think that, you know, I think if you ignore Kansas State, it's silly. But I do think the fact that, a lot of people are even thinking that Texas can sneak up and maybe finish third in the conference, which is possible with Tom Herman in his first year. You know, and I think, you know, Oklahoma State, you know, Gundy thinks that it's his best team that he's probably had, at least maybe as good as the 2011 team that came within a whisker of making it into the BCS championship game. Oklahoma looks like they've got a kind of team that can definitely contend, but, you know, nobody really knows what's going to happen with Lincoln Riley as coach. I think he's got the potential to be a really good head coach, but he hasn't done it yet. So there are a lot of, you know, kind of X factors out there. And with Kansas State, when you've got Bill Snyder, yeah, I'm kind of curious and wondering, you know, if he, with the deal he had with his cancer scare, you know, something tells me I might not be surprised if he suddenly says at the end of the year that this was it. He was, you know, but I think the team has come together a lot more maybe because of that. I think that maybe was one of those deals where, hey, coach might be coaching his last season. If it is, let's send him out as close to being on top as possible. But, yeah, I think that Kansas State has all the ingredients and – so, yeah, the fact that they're being counted out. But, again, I think that works to their advantage.
Yeah.
I think Kansas State is in better shape when people are not hyping them up. and everybody else is getting hyped up. So, yeah, I think that it is going to be a very interesting Big 12 race. The problem is that I think there's a lot of potential for everybody knocking each other off. And obviously, if anybody gets to two losses, they're almost certainly out of the college football playoff picture. And so, you know, I think it could be a really fun race for us in the Big 12 to follow. But, you know, there's a potential that as far as the national radar is concerned, the Big 12 could once again be, they play football, but they're not going to be in the college football playoff.
Is there a team, we've talked about Kansas State, we mentioned Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, that seems to be the top three contenders. You mentioned Texas could maybe sneak up there. Is there another team in the Big 12 that we're sleeping on a little bit that you wouldn't be surprised, at least is a pretty solid contender in this conference and can make a nice bowl game?
Well, there's actually two, I think, that you got to keep an eye on. TCU has a history, that was one of their worst seasons last year to finish 6-7, and Gary Patterson has a track record of when they have a bad season like that, they come out gangbusters the next year. And I think they have a lot of ingredients in place. I think their defense is going to be one of the best in the Big 12. And it all comes down to how Kenny Hill plays a quarterback. He was obviously all over the map last year. He ended up leading the league in interceptions. Had this, kind of big reputation. He's a guy that, in his first college game with A&M against South Carolina, national TV, SEC Network debut, throws for over 500 yards, and then halfway through the season he's lost his job as starting quarterback and ends up transferring to TCU. So his senior year, if he goes out and plays anywhere close to how he played the first half of his career at A&M, TCU's offense is going to be pretty salty. So I think they're a team to keep an eye on. And another team which has got to fix its defense because of losing a lot of guys is West Virginia, but their defensive coordinator has been great as far as always kind of just putting the pieces together, and they play that kind of funky 3-3-5 defense that teams have trouble getting ready for as far as playing week to week. And they've got a quarterback who transferred to Florida, Will Grier, who, from what I'm hearing, is a guy with a great arm. He transferred. He had last year to absorb Dana Holgerson's system. And this guy is, again, from what I've heard, and he started and went 5-0 as a freshman at Florida before he ended up being suspended and then transferring. this is kind of a difference-maker type quarterback. And when Holgerson has a quarterback like that, the Mountaineers are pretty dangerous. They've got some really solid running backs and always have good receivers. I don't know if their defense is going to be good enough. They opened the season with Virginia Tech, which if they win that game is going to be a huge springboard for the rest of the season. I don't think it's a disaster as far as the Big 12 if they lose it, obviously, but I think West Virginia is one of those teams that could be really tough for the top teams like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and Kansas State to play during the year. So to me, really, there's five teams that are worth keeping your eye on: Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Texas, West Virginia. I guess I can't count because TCU is six. But yeah. Basically, those are teams that I think are really kind of separating themselves at the top of the Big 12.
Who would you pick to win this thing? Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, or who's your pick to win the Big 12 this year?
Well, now, when you say pick to win it, are we just talking regular season?
I know. That's so true. Why don't you give me your Big 12 regular season champion, and then if you think a team's going to make the college football playoff?
I guess I'll go with Oklahoma State just because they get Oklahoma at home. Their non-conference schedule isn't that difficult. They've got a road game at Pitt, non-conference play. They should be able to get through the Big 12 maybe with just one loss. I mean, they're obviously going to have a tough time when they play a team like Kansas State or when, they play Texas. Texas is a team that's got enough talent that maybe they might win only eight games, but one of those eight games could be against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and really kind of, basically mess up the conference race. But, I just think from being around Mike Gundy at Media Day and how loose he is and how much fun that he's having. I think that's going to sort of permeate with the team. I think they're very talented, but I don't think they feel any pressure. So, you know, I think Oklahoma State may be the team this year just to win it. And I have seen a few of the, you know, media projections here with the season getting started. There are a few people that are putting Oklahoma State in the playoff, thinking that, you know, they're going to beat Oklahoma, and if it's a rematch, that they can beat them again, and that Oklahoma State might actually, you know, get in the playoff and represent the Big 12. I don't think that's any kind of a stretch. But, you know, again, the Big 12's track record of always being snake bit.
Yeah.
You know, if Oklahoma State is sitting there needing to beat Oklahoma a second time and they're playing at AT&T Stadium on either December 1st or December 2nd, there's going to be a lot of tension just in general for the Big 12, whether or not Oklahoma State can, you know, beat Oklahoma twice in the period of a month and, you know, make it into the college football playoff.
My prediction is the Big 12 championship game will actually backfire, just like a lot of things the Big 12 has done. That's just the way it's been going, you know, because I can just see what happens. You go into that game. Well, if they didn't have the Big 12 championship game this year, Oklahoma State or Oklahoma would have been in the playoff. And now every year is different. And that's why I thought we need to be careful not to overreact to that the first year of the playoff. OK, I wanted you to get some input from you real quickly on Kansas. Kansas State, the big schools in our area.
Right.
David Beatty, we have Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, on every single Thursday. He says, you know, the speed is better, the strength is better. They've got some actual, a couple of NFL draft prospects. Of course, Dorrance Armstrong is one of those.
Right.
They feel better about their quarterback situation. They haven't officially announced it, but it's leaked out that Peyton Bender is going to be their quarterback. Well, what are your thoughts on the Jayhawks this season, and can they – David Beatty gets a lot of money for every win he gets this year. He beat Texas last year. That was the only Division I opponent they beat. How many games do you think Kansas can win overall and then the Big 12, and your thoughts on the Jayhawks?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it's going to come down to the non-conference. I think they've got three winnable games, but they're not, you know, any kind of layups at all as far as, okay, yeah, they're going to definitely win that. I think it's crucial that they go at least 2-1 in the non-conference. You know, if they come out in the non-conference 3-0, then I think, you know, their games with teams like, you know, Iowa State and Texas Tech and Baylor, the teams that are looked upon to be near the bottom of the league, those are going to be the crucial games that they're pretty much going to have to win. The bad thing, I think, for Kansas beating Texas is that all the good teams in the Big 12 are going to say, you know what, we just can't assume that we're going to beat Kansas. We can't go into these games with them thinking, you know, they don't have enough talent. There's no way they're going to beat us. So I think that it's a little bit of a negative for Kansas in the fact that, you know, they're on people's radar enough now that there's not going to be any surprise factors. So I think, you know, if Kansas can go 3-0 and then, you know, maybe get one or two Big 12 victories, you know, I think that would show tremendous progress to say that, yeah, we are, you know, we are starting to get enough players. We've got more of a full roster. We can compete in the Big 12. I think that's kind of the message that's got to be sent. I think if they, you know, if the wheels totally come off and they have a lot of injuries or things just don't come together and the quarterback situation just doesn't really work out, then, you know, if it's only one or two wins, I think that's going to be, you know, I think that's going to be a pretty big negative as far as the growth of the program. Now, mm-hmm. I remember seeing something somewhere recently, and I see so much stuff on Twitter and the internet and everything, I can't remember, but somebody actually said that David Beatty was on the hot seat, which can't be serious here, folks. But you know, so he's not on the hot seat, and I think the fact that, you know, that they are planning to make all these improvements to the stadium again, I think that's a good sign. You know, hopefully he's going to be around to reap the benefits of those improvements. But it's obviously a terribly steep hill to climb. But, you know, what they've got to do is just, you know, kind of, to use Mark Mangino's old phrase, just keep sawing wood, yeah. You know, keep chopping the wood, just keep at it. And I think that Beatty has, I think he's established what he wants with his program. And, you know, this is a pretty crucial season, though. The improvement has to be there as far as the win column is concerned. They can't, the moral victory aspects are kind of out the window now. They've got to, you know, they've got to really show people that, yeah, we are a better football team and our program is, you know, legitimate FBS Power 5 level to where we can compete. We may not be able to win all the time and we may have trouble getting to a bowl game, but we're better.
Well, and I agree with you. And for him to be on the hot seat, I think really, I don't even think he could go 2-10 again. I don't think he's in the hot seat.
No.
He could go 0-12 maybe, but that'd be about it.
Well, no. Next, you know, 2-10 or 0-12, a complete disaster of a season.
Right.
They're not going to change coaches.
No.
The next year, the fourth season, obviously, yeah, that's when you start talking about the hot seat. But yeah, it was, you know, of course, we all know how many stupid things are on the internet.
Yeah. Well, if you get the 4 wins this year, which I think is kind of the goal, I think,
yes.
If you talk to people, and that's, to me, that's realistic.
Yes, it is.
If you get 4, and maybe you get 5, like you said, now next year the expectation is, okay, we keep making progress. So next year we win 6, we go to a bowl game. And
right.
And then
right.
You've made that progression. I think David Beatty is pretty much guaranteed he's going to get the 5 years. I mean, just because of how bad the program was in, all the money that they wasted on coaches and kept paying
right.
them after the fact, they're not going to want to go spend a whole bunch of money on another guy. And I think David Beatty enjoys the challenge, which not many coaches would, of going into Kansas and dealing what he's dealing with right now. I think he's more than safe for a while, I would think. Okay, time for the off-the-wall question for you, Wendell. And I was reading your article, and we're talking Wendell Barnhouse of FanRagSports.com, and I couldn't help but notice a line you had in your article. You said, the decision was made 100% on our ability to optimize the likelihood of getting a team in the college football playoff, Bob Bowlsby said. The finances of it, I don't ever recall them being discussed, end of quote. And you wrote, in parentheses, if you believe that, you would also believe your veteran scribe's claim of having once dated Kate Beckinsale. I like that line. That was good. Plus, I really like Kate Beckinsale as well, by the way.
I had a lot of choices there to fantasize about who I might have possibly lied about dating. So, yes, that was, yeah. But, I appreciate you noticing and appreciate you reading that. And I appreciate the editors not taking that paragraph out and letting me throw it out there. But, yeah, just kind of being an old smart aleck, basically.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I like smart aleck.
Well, good. And I'm glad there's not an off-the-wall question there trying to ask me, did I really, you know,
no, but
never do that. No.
But I haven't asked it yet. The off-the-wall question.
Oh, okay.
The off-the-wall question for you is, what is your favorite Kate Beckinsale movie?
Oh, well, you know, I didn't like any of the vampire deals or whatever, but I hate to say this, but, you know, Pearl Harbor is pretty much an awful movie, it's more so about the plot and, the two, Ben Affleck and the other guy, I can't remember.
Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett. He, of course, he hardly ever does anything else. But the point is, in that movie, she was kind of perfect in that movie as far as I'm concerned. So even though it's really kind of a terrible movie, that's probably my favorite role that she's been in.
Not the Underworld movies? Not the Underworld.
No, huh? I'm not into that. I'm too old for those things. Those things just don't, I know she looks really hot wearing a, you know,
leather outfit,
whatever the outfit that I've seen, you know, from movie clips or the, you know, previews and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's kind of like, to me, why is she doing that? She ought to be in, I don't get that whole series of movies at all. So now she's not my favorite in that. You know, if I really liked her a lot, I assume maybe I should go see those movies or should get them on Netflix. I mean, you know, so maybe, you know, I almost went with Diane Lane, to be honest, but I figured that maybe, you know, she's almost
Gates is a little younger.
Really old, yeah. She's for the really old guys.
Yeah,
you know, she's been around for a while, even though she looks great.
Yeah, you were trying anyway. you're trying to reach out to the middle ground there for your readers. I get you. And see,
right.
I was all for that one. So if you went with Diane Lane, I probably wouldn't have even brought this question up. So mission accomplished by you. Well done.
Well, appreciate that. And you know, hopefully neither one of us have managed to make any kind of a sexist comment that's going to go viral.
I hope someday you or I get to interview her. That would be a good interview. Okay.
That would be, I would be okay with that. I don't know how much of a sports fan she is, but maybe there's some possibility of that working out at some point.
There you go. Well, you do a great job there at fanragsports.com, and we will probably try to get a hold of you later on during the season, maybe even before the Big 12 championship game, and see how this is all going to turn out with the Big 12. Thanks for the time as always, Wendell. We appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
That's Wendell Barnhouse, fanragsports.com on the internet. fanragsports.com. Read his work. He does a wonderful job.